Next on BYUSN, football fall camp just 1 week away. All eyes on the quarterback battle. We'll discuss how expectations may shift based on who starts under center. And I go one-on-one with BYU basketball's new director of player development, Jordan Brady, on recruiting with Kevin Young and what exactly makes this BYU team special.
Plus, Kansas head coach Lance Leipold previews the Jayhawks, their talented offense, and their matchup with BYU in their first visit to Provo. And with NFL training camps getting underway, who are the top five Cougars in the NFL right now?
Well, that's a top five I can get behind. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere, Tuesday, July 23rd. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a renowned collector of knickknacks, Dave McCann.
So thank you. It's good to be here. I went into my library and it's got this camel right here. This is from Morocco.
Oh, yeah.
We've got these Russian dolls. The whole family's in there. Trust me, we'd have room on the table for all that.
The nesting dolls are the Matryoshka.
Yeah. This is a rock from the Black Sea.
Okay.
You know, that's been polished. But imagine the things that thing's
Did you get that in your stocking 1 year?
I earned it. This is my dad's golden cougar from his desk, which I've had for about 26 years now. I don't think my family knows that I have that, so let's keep this one between us.
That's spectacular. Nobody knows. It just stays here
so here's
and with everyone on national television.
All of this, my vast library, pales in comparison to what we're about to show you. Mm. This is a collecting group of helmets. 563 from Jerry Quickle.
What in the world?
He posted this. At the BYU hats on the front row to the left by the Kansas thing.
There's the BYU lid.
Those are life-size helmets. Those are the real things. Fill up his whole front yard. Is that not a collection?
563 helmets. Said he had to battle rain all day setting it up. And then asked for a retweet to help grow the collection. I think his collection's going to grow. It went viral among college football fans, not surprisingly.
That collection puts this camel from Morocco to the back of the stack.
Hey, the Golden cool Cougar, though, Dave?
Yeah.
That one carries some real awesome sentimental value.
That one's a special one.
Yeah, yeah. Your dad was a very, very special
part of the
BYU family.
Thank you.
I do.
I'm not a big, this is it for me right here. I'm not a big collector.
No, I'm not a huge collector, but I mean, when I go to, you know, a golf tournament, I typically get a flag. So when I went to the Masters, I got a Masters flag, and recently went to the U.S. Open and got a flag from Pinehurst.
Yeah.
So I'll do things like that, maybe some collector golf balls and some hats and things like that, but I'm not over the top crazy like that.
People in the trading card stuff, you know, as kids, they were popular. I'd get the trading cards because they had gum inside.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, who are these guys? I got the gum.
Let me throw away this Hank Aaron rookie card for a piece of bubble gum.
I'm going to put it in my bike tire, make it sound like I got a motorcycle.
Great stuff. And thanks for bringing that stuff in.
There you go.
On that note, all rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
Jake has really improved in his consistency. Gary brings with him experience. Both guys are entering camp healthy.
Oklahoma State, I think they're the best team in the conference.
And I feel like UCF is a potential sleeping giant.
Yes.
I can't believe we're here, but we are. BYU football training camp underway in approximately 1 week from today when the players report. And the number one headline going into BYU football training camp, as it always is when there's not a designated starter, is the quarterback battle. And there are four. Kalani Sitake said, there are as many as four who could legitimately push for the starting position, though we have zeroed in, according to Aaron Roderick's words, on Jake Retzlaff and Gary Bohannon. So, Dave, let's take a step back and look at the big picture here and look at a reality where both quarterbacks are the starter for BYU in week one. How do your expectations change or shift for BYU football this season based on who the starter eventually is?
It's a great question, and everyone's talking about it. At church, outside of religious questions, that's the number one question.
It's the water cooler question.
So what do you think about this? There's some mystery to it, right? Because we saw both on the field in spring, and then we haven't seen them at all. We know that they're working out. They've been working out with John Beck. They're working out with their individual drills and stuff, and we get feedback from them and from their teammates. But visual, that's going to wait for a week. And then we'll be front and center throughout camp. So we're going on a hunch of what each can do, has done, and has potential to be.
Yes.
And so when you think of Gary Bohannon and you think of 6'3", 235, who can run the football as fast as the running backs. And that dynamic we've seen work at BYU, especially with an offensive coordinator who needs to be really successful this year. A 20-yard scamper on a broken play is still a first down, and we're moving the football. Whereas Jake Retzlaff isn't 6'3 and 235. He's got a different set of skills. Didn't throw an interception during spring football. Taking care of the football is priority number one
for
him.
That's huge.
Because of what we saw in the last four games of last season, the four games he started and played from start to finish. Gary Bohannon we haven't seen on the field since South Florida 2 years ago when BYU beat them.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, last year he was out with shoulder surgery and recovery. So this is kind of what we got. It is a mixed bag of two very different talents, two really good personalities, and two different forms of leadership.
I've heard significant arguments from notable people in BYU football's program about why each should start. And Jake Retzlaff has a significant advantage in that he has been in Aaron Rodgers' program much longer.
Right.
He has a really good grasp of the verbiage that goes in the playbook, along with all the nuances. And if they want to throw in some new sets and do some modifications, he will adapt more quickly. However, Gary, his skill set naturally seems to fit more along the lines of what Aaron Roderick did with Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall. He fits that mold a little bit better from a skill set perspective than Jake Retzlaff. Not saying Jake can't run and isn't a dual threat quarterback, because he is. Gary just is more naturally that type of player. So do you go with the guy that brings in the natural skill set, or do you invest in Retzlaff, who has spent more time with the program? And again, the biggest argument against Jake was, well, he didn't win a game last year and he turned the ball over. His four starts were against all teams that finished in the top five of the Big 12 standings.
Right.
Like, that's a rough gauntlet.
Yeah.
There was no gimme. There was no warm-up game. There was no Sam Houston for Jake. There was no Cincinnati for Jake, or a bad Baylor team. Like, he went in and played. His last two starts were against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, and then he had to start at West Virginia. Like, that's super tough. So what do you value more? It feels like to me, and maybe you disagree, Dave, that Gary is the quicker fix, whereas Jake might be the longer play that could then develop and blossom into something beautiful down the road because he has more time. But it feels like Gary Bohannon is the quicker fix.
And it's a dilemma for Aaron Roderick, because after last season, they need a quick fix. They can't go 5-7. So you got to win right now. But Jake's got 2 years. So you bring him along and you win now. And now you've got a veteran guy who's been in the system now 3 years going into next season. But it's about getting to next season.
Yeah.
And the thing that's interesting, Max Hall, I was talking to Max last night, the winningest quarterback in BYU history. And he said about these quarterback battles, he goes, you know, everyone's going to make the throws. They can run this and that. He goes, what Aaron Roderick will be watching is the team, how the team responds to who's in the huddle. And I think that's going to be a very interesting observation. When Gary's in the huddle, he's new. You know, relatively, but he's won at the highest level. He's won the Big 12. He's won the Sugar Bowl.
Yes.
He's beaten BYU.
They know that, and he has a commanding presence because of it.
And he's older and been there, done that.
Yeah.
And you can't, that's tough to beat right there. Been there, done that are two really important aspects of who's going to lead. Then Jake gets in there, and you got some pizzazz. You got some understanding of, hey, I know the playbook so well, I can check down to three different plays.
Sure.
And know how to run them. And we've been in this before. We've lost together. And now let's win together. And I think there's that dynamic too. Jake played much better in those last two games. Man, he had some terminal injuries or turnovers.
Turnovers, yeah.
But by and large, people forget, after he threw that 100-yard pick to Oklahoma, they drove back down and scored and tied the game.
Yes.
Again. So it wasn't just, oh, it's, I'm taking a knee, I'm not good enough. He's good enough. His junior college numbers are outstanding. Number one quarterback in the country coming out of junior college, according to ESPN. So skill set here, skill set there. But Gary's been there and done that.
Yeah.
And, again, he's 6'3", 235. That's huge for a quarterback in an offense that has to move the football, no matter what it takes.
Assuming health, if Gary Bohannon's shoulder truly is recovered and he is okay, then logic would suggest you probably should go that direction because of all of the experience that he brings. there isn't going to be much that intimidates Gary Bohannon. And he has literally seen it in the Big 12 when he won a Big 12 championship. The big question mark is when he gets back to game speed and those reps are at Big 12 game speed, will he be the same Gary Bohannon that he was in 2021? That's a while. That's where he's removed 3 years from that version of the Baylor Gary Bohannon.
And what makes it tough, too, and we've both done extensive interviews with both guys. After a half hour with Gary Bohannon, it's like, that's the leader.
He's the guy.
After a half hour with Jake, it's like,
he's the dude. He's the dude.
I mean, there's no like, he's behind. He's behind the eight ball a little bit. No. They say the right things. They give you that feeling of confidence in this offense. They're both ticked off. They both have things to prove. Bohannon's got more to prove than Retzlaff. You know, he's got to figure out, hey, I want to be an NFL quarterback. This is my last shot. I got to show everybody I'm healthy. They already know I can win. And then Jake's got to prove that I'm not an 0-4 quarterback. I'm better than that.
Yes.
And with a healthy team that he didn't have.
And an offensive line that, you know, is not leaving wide open lanes to come and get him.
Right. And a running back that wasn't really healthy till the last two games when Robbins ran forever against Oklahoma. And then he had a good game against Oklahoma State. But before then, the running game was non-existent. So both have something to prove. But I'm going to keep an eye on the rest of the team.
Yes.
To help decide which of these guys should be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, there are two questions that I get asked almost every day now. Who's going to start a quarterback, and how many games is BYU going to win? And those two absolutely are intertwined. And if it's Retzlaff or Bohannon, the over-under win-loss total is very, very close. I don't think that there's a clear delineation of like, oh, if Gary starts, BYU's two games better, or if Jake starts, BYU's a game and a half better. There's nothing like that. It's really close, Dave.
Look, even my wife asked me about it.
You know it's the real deal.
She couldn't be further from being interested in how this thing goes. But even she's going, so which one's going to be? So you know that it's on everyone's mind. And a week from today, you know, they report, and then they get out on the field day or two after, and then it's on. And our pregame show countdown for 2 hours leading up to the kickoff on the 31st against Southern Illinois is going to have so much drama, not because we won't know who the quarterback is.
We'll know by then.
It's... did they make the right choice?
Yes.
And is it going to work?
We don't have to wait that much longer to find out. But we do know that whoever the starter is, there are going to be some opportunities at revenge for BYU in this year's schedule.
All right, here's our second topic for this day before Pioneer Day. Which opponent gives BYU the best shot at revenge on the 2024 schedule?
Well, by nature of revenge, it's like you naturally go to who beat BYU the last time they faced each other. And there aren't that many teams on this year's BYU schedule that BYU lost to last.
In fact, nine. BYU is 9-0 against nine teams on the schedule. Last time they played. They didn't play Southern Illinois. I haven't played them yet. So it's Kansas and Oklahoma State. On the schedule, there's only two they just got beat.
Only two teams that beat them last year. Oklahoma State is an understandable answer because of the frustration of what it cost BYU. No bowl game. You're up 24-6 at halftime. Oh, a lot went into it. That was a very, very difficult loss. But I'm actually going to rewind 10 years. And I know that BYU beat UCF the last time they played in the Boca Raton Bowl. That was a COVID scenario. It was weird. Let's be honest. It was a weird scenario. But the last time BYU played at UCF, which they will do this year in Orlando, it's one of the most difficult setbacks I've ever witnessed from a BYU football team. Just how upset and dejected BYU's team was after that specific loss, because it was the week after Taysom Hill broke his leg against Utah State and BYU lost their game. They lost their national ranking. Christian Stewart makes his first start in Orlando. BYU's up by 10 in the second half. And it's like, oh man, this would be a huge morale boost, only to lose in overtime on one of the worst pass interference no calls that I've ever experienced in my life. And I know there's some BYU bias there, but you ask any college football fan what happened to Jordan Leslie in overtime on fourth down in the end zone in a do-or-die play, and they'll tell you, that's one of the worst no calls I've ever seen. It was so bad, Dave. 2014 UCF. So going back to Orlando, for me personally,
you've been hanging on to this for 10 years.
A decade. Just the frustration of that game. It was so tough. I would love to see BYU stun UCF, too, because the Cougars are going to be a significant underdog in that game. Two time zones, East Coast, late October.
Doesn't
UCF's
good.
Really good. That to me feels like a vengeance match, but it carries some personal feelings from 10 years ago.
I can feel that.
Okay, so what about you? What about your revenge game?
I'm going to go Oklahoma State. It's a two-pronged thing. There's last year, BYU's up 24-6 at halftime in a game that if they win, they're going to a bowl game.
That hurts.
And the whole offseason narrative is different. Ollie Gordon scores 5 touchdowns after halftime.
That also hurts.
BYU, no turnovers, but they punted 8 times. They just couldn't do anything.
And a fake punt. Tyler Batty got a first down on.
They got out-yarded 503 to 327. In the rain, it was cold. There was so much there. They played good against Oklahoma. It's like, man, finish strong, go to the postseason, and you know what? Yeah. We're not even having a debate who the starting quarterback is. If they win that game and they go to a bowl game, and now Jake Retzlaff's coming in.
Isn't that
with
interesting?
Some wins under his
Can
belt.
You imagine if Jake had beaten Oklahoma and Oklahoma State? He clearly would be the incumbent, right? Yeah. Like, he would be the dude.
Bohannon might not even be here.
Wild how fickle that is. A few plays.
They're coming here for the first time ever, so there's a revenge opportunity there. And then you go back 50 years. It's the 50th anniversary of BYU's first bowl game.
Okay.
I bring this up for my friend Gary Scheide, who, like you, is still...
He's holding on.
So, 74 in the Fiesta Bowl. We're playing Oklahoma State. BYU's nationally ranked. They're up 6-0, the Cougars are. Mm-hmm. And Gary, to this day, contends there was a bounty out on him. But he gets knocked out of the game with a shoulder injury in the first quarter, I believe. The backup doesn't throw the football. He runs the option. That's, you know, BYU is still transitioning into the passing game. So Oklahoma State wins that game 16-6. That 50 years ago is still a game that is under the skin of great Gary Scheide. And he hangs on to that. And that's why he's hoping for revenge
against Oklahoma
at Lavelle Edwards Stadium against Oklahoma State. So it's an anniversary season and a revenge opportunity. and to Gary's, that injury cost him his NFL career. You know, he was drafted the Bengals, and it was just never right after that. But in that game, he got nailed in a cheap shot. I haven't seen it, but I'm going to take Gary's word for it.
Gary's pretty stand-up guy.
Yeah.
And I'll trust him.
So there's all reasons to beat Oklahoma State, not to mention that Alan Bowman and Ollie Gordon are back.
Yeah.
And they're going to be nationally ranked.
20 starters for Oklahoma State.
They're going to be nationally ranked coming in here, and it's going to be a Friday night. Under the lights. You got to be at that game.
Mike Gundy and those flowing locks on the opposing sideline as the head coach of the Cowboys.
Let's go.
This is a fun question. And it's so fun that we're going to ask you to answer it as our question of the day. Which opponent gives BYU the best shot at revenge on the 2024 schedule? Obviously, Kansas is another team. BYU lost their Big 12 opener. They were up at halftime in that game. 2 terminal turnovers cost BYU in that one as well. If we're being honest, the biggest revenge game on the schedule is probably Utah against BYU, but it's the Utes seeking some revenge against BYU,
exactly.
Right?
That's right.
And then Gary Bohannon going back to Baylor. Interesting, right?
Yeah. All he does is win, and then they go, hey, we're going with somebody else. That's a great setup for a special day.
At Mick underscore Sorensen 32 on X says, I really think, other than the Utah game, Oklahoma State, he agrees with you, will be the game that gets the guys fired up the most. With what was on the line in last year's game, this is a circle on the calendar game this year. Best believe Lavelle Edwards Stadium is going to be rocking, and it will be a Friday night.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be so fun.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Hey, we got good times ahead over in Paris. The Olympics start on Friday night with opening ceremonies, and a bunch of Cougars are in the field this year. 9 of them, in fact, to watch over the next month. Join us tomorrow on Pioneer Day for a BYU Sports Nation Olympic special featuring interviews with the Cougars who are over there. It's tomorrow at noon Eastern time on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Tomorrow, the state of Utah also expected to be awarded the 2034 Winter Games.
Let's go. The great Jimmer Fredette on the TV screen feels like an appropriate time to reference some basketball because I go one-on-one with BYU Men's Hoops Director of Player Development Jordan Brady next on what coaching with Kevin Young is like. The recruiting pitch from Coach Young and what makes this team special. This is BYUSN.
Men's basketball hires Jordan Brady as the director of player development.
The roster has been upgraded.
What I want to do is take it to the next level, is make this place the best place in college basketball to prepare young men to play in the NBA.
So far, so good. On that mission from Kevin Young and his staff, we are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Dave McCann. You just heard in that open the name Jordan Brady, who is BYU's new basketball director of player development. I spoke with him one-on-one yesterday to discuss what the recruiting pitch is like from Kevin Young and the current staff, and what BYU players and current staff and roster are doing to embrace the honor code as something that could be a force for good pushing forward in the recruiting scheme. This is my one-on-one with Jordan Brady. Coach Brady, when did a position at BYU, and specifically as the director of player development, first hop onto your radar and then become a good, realistic fit for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. So with my relationship with Coach Young, you know, we stay in touch pretty consistently. And so really the day that he got the job, the day that it was announced, we started talking about some possibilities and just kind of looking at what that role might look like. He really early on identified this role as something that he wanted to fill in the college space, and just kind of recognizing the need that he's recognized in professional basketball for somebody to be able to really unify the performance staff and all of these different elements of player development to try and maximize what we're getting out of these resources. And so as we continued to talk, the role just kind of evolved into this, and I'm super excited. So, I mean, when it actually became a reality and a good fit was probably, you know, a few weeks after we started talking about it. And then, you know, we started to go through the formal interview process with Brigham Young University. And so shortly after that, everything was announced and finalized. So
obviously a lot of what you do is built into your title, not hard to get around player development, but let's talk about the specifics of what you are trying to do. Like what specifically is your day-to-day like now that you're new to this position?
Yeah, it's a good question. So first of all, I'm really fortunate to be able to work with some very high level professionals in their different areas of development. So I can just kind of run down the list. Obviously, we've got the on-court development, which is going to be the skill development and applying that stuff to, you know, the in-game and system that Coach Young is putting in. Next would be the strength and conditioning part, where I'm working really closely with Coach Davey to make sure that what he's doing in the weight room complements what we're trying to accomplish on the court, and that what we're doing on the court also coordinates with what he's doing in the weight room, and really just bridging that gap with performance. Then there's working with the athletic training staff. So Rob Ramos, making sure that everybody's on the same page there, so that, you know, that's really just a lot of heavy communication and making sure that the players are getting the body maintenance that they need, and that everything that they're doing in the training room, again, fits in with what the plan is for the player. There's a nutritional element to that. We're fortunate to have a good nutrition team here at Brigham Young University. So again, just making sure that what the nutritionist is communicating to the player and those goals are in alignment with what we're doing in the weight room and the training room. And then another piece with that is working with Dr. Craig Manning, who I forgot to mention this, but I worked with Wiz in Milwaukee. So he was the assistant strength coach there for the Bucks when I was the coach of the Bucks G League team. And so we developed a good relationship there. And also working with Doc Manning, I worked with him with the Jazz doing draft workouts, and then also with the Bucks as he came on board the same time I did there in Milwaukee. And then the other element for that is the academic piece. So working with the academic advisors to just make sure that the guys are developing off the court as well. And then we're bringing in kind of like a social and community aspect to that as well. And I think we're going to be having Nate Austin, the director of basketball ops, will be heading that up. So really just coordinating with the leads of each of those departments, making sure that these guys are having a really well-rounded, holistic development plan that's all geared towards helping them become better basketball players, better student athletes, and just making sure that we're all on the same page.
So I want to go into specifically what you are watching from Kevin Young and the staff you involved in the recruiting pitch, because everybody is like, whoa, this is the greatest recruiting class in BYU basketball history, and it's not close. How in the world are they doing this? So what can you tell us about what is unique to Kevin Young's recruiting pitch to these new age and evolving athletes that are coming into the program?
First of all, I would say I don't feel like it's so much a pitch. You know, it's just the reality of the staff that coach has assembled. He's been able to put together a really well balanced coaching staff that has a lot of experience at different levels of basketball. You know, he's made good on his commitment to make it a pro development program. I mean, everything that we do is essentially in line with what we've all learned at the professional level of basketball. And so when we're able to sit down with recruits, I don't feel like there's really much pitching going on at all. We really just show them the process. We show them the resources that we have, the knowledge base that we have. And it really is the reality that we've put together a staff that can really help these guys develop their game in a professional way. And, you know, whether they want to transition to the NBA, which some of our guys will absolutely have that opportunity, or maybe they're looking to play overseas, really just an opportunity to prepare themselves to play at that level of basketball.
The honor code has long been viewed as, and I'm just going to be forthright here, in the recruiting world, people have, especially opponents, have worked hard to say, like, oh, sometimes you don't want to go play for BYU. Like, they got an honor code. It's that's not for you. But it feels like this staff has just fully embraced it and promote it and are almost using it as a strength. So I would love for you, if you could, to summarize how that mindset has changed, because I'm hearing recruits talk about it, well, in ways where, and I'm summarizing, where they're saying, well, why would I want to do any of that stuff anyway? I care about ball, and like, I care about getting better as a ball player. So how has the approach shifted there?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I also agree. I think that the honor code does provide a level of strength with the recruiting base, because each of the teams that I've worked for professionally, and I know with Coach Young, with Coach Voigt, having really high character guys at the professional level matters. And so when you're evaluating guys for draft picks, when you're evaluating guys for free agency, making sure that you're bringing in the right character of guys that you want to have be a part of your culture has been a really big deal for the programs and the organizations that I've worked for. And so for me, it's just that at the college level. So professional teams want to know that guys are going to be able to commit to things off the court as well. That's a big part of being a pro. And for us to be able to sit down and talk with these recruits and let them know that there will be some additional commitments that they need to make outside of basketball, that will be a direct reflection on their ability to commit to basketball, I think has been a strength for us. And so being able to be upfront about the honor code, I think, helps us to be able to find the guys that we really want to have and that we feel like we'll be able to coach and that we'll embrace the culture that we're building.
Well, the culture that you are building is all any fan wants to talk about, it seems like, for BYU right now, because it's been just so much fun to watch high-level recruits and high-level staff members such as yourself come in and surround Kevin Young. This is new territory, almost a new galaxy for BYU basketball. So with that said, what's your message to the fans right now about the state of the program? How would you explain it, the culture and the state of BYU basketball?
Yeah, I feel like we have a really strong culture amongst the players and the staff early on. You know, we had an agency come in that does performance testing, similar to what you would see at the NBA Combine. And the gentleman that runs that performance testing has been doing this for almost 20 years now, going around to different teams and colleges. And at the end of our session with him, we were together with them for about 2 hours. And at the end of the session in the circle up, he just stepped up and he said, guys, I really have to tell you, he said, in all the years doing this, I really feel like this is one of the more special sessions that I've had because of the closeness, the character of the guys. So we really feel like we have an opportunity to build something special here. Obviously a lot of talent. You know, for me, this is my first experience in college basketball, so I don't have a lot of formal experience on what the level of play is going to be like once we start the season, and then especially getting into the Big 12. But we definitely have the talent to compete, so I think that there's a lot to be excited about if you're a Cougar basketball fan, for sure.
All right, we'll finish with this. BYU right now is a unique mix of a solid core that is largely headlined by guys like Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders and Trevin Nell and Foush Traore, among others, Trey Stewart, another name in the mix there. But then you bring in some big time new pieces as well through the portal and through just your straight up recruiting. So with that mix in place, what do you feel like you know about this team that you've had roughly a few months to work around and with?
Yeah, I mean, it's really early on to say for sure what we know absolutely about the team, but I think what we feel like we have is a group of guys that we know are going to be competitive in the Big 12. And then we also have some really talented young players that could maybe even elevate that for us, right? So we feel like we have a pretty good understanding of what the floor might be. We're still trying to see what the ceiling might be. And, you know, everything that we're doing in the preseason to get these guys healthy, in shape, and just ready for a competitive basketball season will kind of determine what that looks like for us. But, you know, like I said before, obviously a lot of things to be excited about for Cougar basketball. And so we're ready to get things going more formally here in the next few weeks for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Jordan, we appreciate the insight into BYU basketball. Great to have you as part of the staff and as, a staff that's full of elite level coaches. We appreciate the time, man. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you.
The Director of Player Development, Jordan Brady, on BYU Sports Nation. All right, more football, Dave.
What a year we've got coming. Whew. Athletically. After further review, returns a week from tonight, Tuesday, July 30th, 7 Eastern time on the BYU TV app. We can't wait to get started.
Which Cougar in the National Football League training camp storylines will we be following the closest? We'll answer that next. It's part of the Whip on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Dave McCann. Let's roll out our daily trivia as part of our continued celebration of the 100th season of BYU football. Our producer, Colton Potter, now joins us with today's random, tough pop quiz from BYU football. Colton, what do you have for us?
All right, today's question, since 2000, BYU has had two non-punters attempt a punt. Can you name either player?
Since 2000?
I'm going to go with Taysom Hill did it in the shotgun at one point.
I want to say Jaren Hall did it one time.
Did Jaren do a pooch punt?
He's athletic enough to have done one. Feels like.
Brad Hunter, the punter, was in the 90s, so that was pre-2000. Ooh. Did a kicker do one? Did Rhett Allman do one at one point when BYU had an injury to a punter? Ah, this is tough.
It feels like they would have been quarterbacks in a half shotgun type.
And here comes your answer.
Okay, what's the answer? We gave you three maybes.
I picked Jaren Hall.
It's on the screen behind you.
Taysom Hill, okay. And J.D. Falslip punted for 2 yards. Why do I not remember that?
Seems like a 2-yard punt is something we should have remembered. JD did that. Okay, that was a good one. I figured Jaren must have tried one at some point. I don't remember Taysom's.
Yeah, I vaguely remember Taysom doing that. We did it 3 times. Yeah. There you go.
We have a new punter this year with Ryan Rico trying to get a job in the NFL.
Landon Rico. It might be another Rico.
Could be.
Right, we'll see. Good stuff. Okay, let's roll out today's headlines.
Pick 6 previews release their preseason projections for the Big 12 football season. They've got BYU 15th out of 16.
Not good.
In their poll. What? And College Football Network's got Tyler Batty on their preseason All-Big 12 team. That makes more sense. More preseason recognition for BYU's defensive leader. 15th.
Yikes. 23 NFL teams report to training camp today. That includes 15 BYU players on those different rosters. Fred Warner with the 49ers, Puka Nacua with the LA Rams, Taysom Hill in the New Orleans Saints, and his former teammate Jamal Williams also with the Saints. Zach Wilson opens up camp with the Denver Broncos. Jaren Hall still with the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to watch what happens with him very closely. And Sione Takitaki with his new team, the Patriots.
The hits keep coming. There's Brady Christensen with the Panthers, Dax Milne and Michael Davis with the Commanders, Kyrie Tonga, the Cardinals, Caleb Hayes trying to get on with the Giants. Great opportunity there because the Giants are terrible. Aiden Robbins with the Browns. Chris Brooks had some big moments with the Dolphins last year, and Chris Wilcox with the Chargers. We wish them all the best. And again, we're in this time of the combination of the most impact players from BYU in the NFL in one single moment in history.
High impact players, for sure. Speaking of, Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua named to the Ringers all under 25 NFL squad. Puka will look to build off an incredible rookie season where he was second team all pro and set the rookie receiving records for catches and receiving yards. Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. Dave, what do you have for us?
Which Cougar are you watching the closest in these NFL camps?
Jaren Hall. I want to know what the Vikings' plan is for Jaren because he seems like he's in a precarious position. He was a fifth-round draft pick to the Vikings. He had what looked like was going to be the beginnings of a beautiful start, and then he got injured, I think, early in the second quarter, and when he finally came back and got his shot to try and get the Vikings into the playoff contention, did not play well and then was just mired down the bench. Then they drafted another quarterback. So what is Jaren Hall's future? I'm watching that very closely.
I watched an ESPN story yesterday on the Vikings quarterback situation. Yeah. Didn't even mention it.
It's a weird deal.
It's alarming. Zach Wilson, watching that with the Broncos. Those are two very intriguing ones where you go, hey, we're in the preseason games. I want to watch those because there's a lot on the line for these guys.
Not surprisingly, they're both quarterbacks. That seems to be the deal here, right?
Seems to be.
Quarterbacks get a lot of the attention.
Hey, join us Saturday night. Speaking of big things, BYU TV Sports Special. BYU football, a celebration of 100 seasons. Look back on a century of Cougar football history with special guests including, but not limited to, Tom Homo, Chris Hoke, Kalani Sitake, and so many more. 9 o'clock Eastern time, live on BYU TV and the BYU TV app.
Looking forward to that. Also looking forward to our continued previews from our extensive Big 12 Media Days coverage. Kansas head coach Lance Leipold, great personality. If you have not seen an interview with him, do not miss this. Stay with us. Time now for another head coach interview featuring specifically Lance Leipold of Kansas football. And think about what he's done in the last 3 years. He has taken Kansas from the perennial cellar dweller to a legitimate Big 12 title contender. In just 3 years, we chronicle that and take a look at what's to expect between Kansas and BYU when they match up again. This is Lance Leipold from Big 12 Media Days.
Coach Leipold, great to have you back on BYU Sports Nation, and a sincere congratulations to you for another significant step forward last season. You've gone from 2 wins to 6 wins to 9 wins. It's tough to do in major college football, so congrats on that first and foremost.
Well, thank you, and it's great to be with you guys again, and appreciate the opportunity, and really proud of our guys. And as I was talking earlier with one of your radio stations, was I think that was the game last year was the last time we probably played at full strength, unfortunately, but we still found a way, and that's really what this league has been about, to if you can have enough depth to kind of work through some things. And but now we're on to the next one, and we have a good returning nucleus, but expectations have changed, and I think our guys have embraced it. And this conference seems to keep changing and adding more, and there we go.
Can we officially say that Kansas is not just a basketball school?
Well, you guys can. That's great. I appreciate it. I always said, I try not to get into that conversation because I've never believed in that. People used to ask that, and I go, they're not on our schedule, we want to be an and school. But the nice thing about it, from Coach Self but more importantly, Travis Goff, our athletic director, Chancellor Doug Girard, is in this ever-changing landscape, they saw the importance to invest in football. And that's allowed us to, keep improving facilities, maintain a staff, and keep growing that put us in this position.
Well, you mentioned the staff, and you've got a guy on your staff, the new OC, who we know well, BYU fans know well, and Jeff Grimes.
Yeah, Grimey keeps texting me. I'm going to tell him I answer more questions about him today than I did to Jalen Daniels. Sometimes we don't know. I didn't know Jeff very well. I'd met him a couple times when he played. Our former offensive coordinator, Andy Kolnicki, and he had a relationship. So I kind of, kind of piggybacked into that to have a conversation when he was available. But as you guys know, he's a great professional. He's an outstanding coach and an even better person. And when we were looking with the returning players that we had, I wanted to keep, our offensive identity. And I look back at our very first year at Kansas and, Baylor, I think, was picked, ninth above us, and they go into the league. And I told some people this, and their starting center was Jacob Gall. Jacob played guard for us at Buffalo. And our center had transferred with us, and he didn't want to try because he goes, Coach, if I got a chance, it's going to have to be at center. And he was undersized. And I felt that if Jeff could take Jacob and utilize his skills at this level, he'll fit with sometimes some of the guys we have as well and develop into, highly productive Big 12 players.
There are two versions of Jeff Grimes. You have Jeff Grimes with the mustache and without the mustache. Is he rocking the stash?
Right now he's kind of more rocking the Clooney kind of, the
scruff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it, There's a little salt and pepper in there. I've seen a couple of those pictures. He hasn't brought that out yet, but I'll make sure I bring it up to him when I get back.
Things to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yes. Kansas football.
Well, and the cool thing, his oldest daughter just got married right before the 4th of July, and his youngest son is in our program. So it's great, and they've made the transition to Lawrence, and we're excited to have him.
Lance Leipold is on BYU Sports Nation. It's funny you brought up the ninth place projection for Baylor back in 2021. I think TCU was picked to finish ninth in 2022, and they went to the national championship. There's something to that. Your team is one of five to receive a first place vote, so this is new territory.
Crazy, isn't it?
So how do you embrace that idea?
Well, because this is about the last time I can have fun with these statements, and then it gets real, right? But I stood before the team like right before we left the bowl, or doing things we told about bowl prep and making sure as we prepared for UNLV that we took it seriously and the opportunity and what nine wins could really mean for this program. And I also said, looking at it, is that if we win nine, guys, there's a high probability we're going to finish in the top 25. And with what we have returning, you're going to be in the preseason top 25. And then they're going to start talking about an opportunity to compete for a conference championship and possibly playoffs. And then I paused and I started laughing. I looked at the older guys. I go, can you even believe we're talking about this from where we were? And then I tried to tell them how proud I am of them and how far we've come. But as we know, and what you've just kind of alluded to from the years past is how competitive, the unknowns. The one thing, nothing against anyone in the media, is that nobody really knows all the hidden pieces that are added. Oh, we might know some bigger names, but we don't know the other things that add to depth in the offseason and things of development. And I think that's those things that have made this conference so balanced and special will continue to show itself, where maybe some others have such a disparity in their conferences. Ours is going to be exciting for that reason.
You mentioned the BYU game last year a few minutes ago, and that was obviously BYU's first Big 12 game. What do you remember specifically about that game against the Cougars?
First of all, how physical BYU was, and I had a feeling they would be. That's where it was. But then on the other thing was probably the early hit by Kobe Bryant.
Oh, my goodness.
It really kind of set a tone for us that really kind of was like, yeah, I mean, and he's the lightest guy in the field for us, and an extreme competitor. But what a play out of the gate for us defensively and kind of helped get us going that way.
Lance Leipold on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, now we're going to ask you about Jalen Daniels, but we waited like six minutes into the interview.
That's the longest one today.
We got to set ourselves apart from
the
other entities.
Greatly appreciate it.
Jalen played against BYU. BYU fans know it all too well. Like, well, that dude is really, really good and really elusive. But even he was not fully himself in that game. So Where is he now in terms of health and readiness for the season?
You know, like I say, you see him around here. I came around. He's playing ping pong. He's doing all this stuff. I said, if we could just have all the stuff they have you doing today outside the field here, behind there, if we could just show that up on the board, I think everybody would ask less questions. He's done everything that he's been allowed to do. I'll say that. And, you know, again, we're moving in a I don't want to say – totally cautious, but it's been an incremental thing, and same thing with some of his spring ball reps and that, but we're ready for him to do everything that is expected for him to do to be the starting quarterback for the first game and the 11 after that.
A year ago, we were talking to you about four new schools, BYU being one of them. Now we're talking about four new schools. Yeah. What do you make of the evolution of this Big 12?
I think it's exciting. Do I get to ask one question before I
Absolutely.
Leave?
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. But I'm going to answer. I think it's exciting. Now we're adding even more that we don't know a lot about. Houston, TCU, West Virginia are some of our first three games, I believe. We didn't play them last year and they're in the conference.
So strange. Yeah.
And now we're going through these other ones. So now it's going to be, when did you play him last? Who was there? Who's the coordinators? What are the, it's going to put some extra work on us. I was just going to ask you guys, okay. how do you feel about Utah being in the conference?
It is with mixed feelings.
Oh, there's no mixed feelings for me.
I think it's great for college football because it's one of the most underrated rivalries in the entire sport. It's fantastic that it's back in the same conference for sure. But there are mixed feelings.
You're talking to a guy who was perfectly happy for BYU and Utah to be on separate lines.
Okay. I just wondered. See, part of these things that get asked, you don't know. I don't know all the back history. I was coaching D3 ball and stuff. I'm just trying to get the lay of the land on some of those. Where does Colorado, like the old days, Colorado, Nebraska? Well, they're not part of it, so who's going to be the rival there? Obviously, Arizona State, we know it. But I just think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be interesting what time the kickoffs are. When's the open week? Who do you have the next week and how far are they? There's going to be things, especially when we get in November, when guys are wearing down a little bit.
Coach, we always enjoy
it. Well, I've enjoyed it last year. Thanks for asking again. I hope you had a great summer and enjoy what's left of it.
Thank you, Coach. You got it. Be well.
Great stuff. If you missed any of our Big 12 Media Day interviews with players and coaches, find them all on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube page.
Up next, which game on BYU's schedule do you have circled for revenge? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Our question of the day, which opponent gives BYU the best shot at revenge on the 2024 schedule? Jeremy Barker on X says, BYU's revenge games are tough this year. I think BYU playing under the Friday night lights against Oklahoma State will be epic. Yeah. And BYU will take home the win, he says, against OSU. Okay?
Steven Hafen on Instagram, Kansas.
Yep.
Should have won that game last year.
Would have been quite the Big 12 opener for sure.
I'll tell you what, I still feel bad for Parker Kingston coming around the corner. Welcome to the Big 12.
Lance Leipold mentioned that.
He's bam!
That hit by, and the cornerback's name is Kobe Bryant, but Kobe with a C.
Yeah.
That was
we were never the same after that.
In response, sorry, Elite Voice of the Day presented by PAX Healthcare, elevated from Debbie Arnold on Instagram, who says Oklahoma State for sure. We know BYU can play head-to-head with them, but it's at home this year.
It's got home matters.
Yes,
home
it does.
Home has to matter.
You know what's one of those swing games, though, is my revenge game. If BYU won at UCF, think about what that would do. Think about what that would do for
I hope
the
they do. Just
trajectory
so you can,
of the program.
Just so you can bury 10
can
years
put that to
of
bed.
Anguish.
Someone needs to clip this off and bring Jordan Leslie into the conversation because I know he feels as fired up as
I'm
I
sure
do.
I'm sure he does. I have no question that he's us.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. And this goes, Dave, to 2024 BYU football signees and current missionaries, wide receiver Jet Nelson and quarterback Enoch Watson. They're throwing together on preparation day in Chile.
You know, P-days, you got to get out, you got to exercise. And someone throws you a football, I think that's awesome. You know, we'll welcome those guys back in a couple years.
Just use situational awareness, elders. Don't get too physical. Don't injure yourselves.
Go back and watch the videos.
Go watch the safety zone.
Stay injury free. That's awesome.
Oh, great stuff. Our thanks to today's guest, BYU basketball's assistant coach and director of player development, Jordan Brady, and Kansas head coach Lance Leipold.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Dave, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Pete Van Valkenburg. We'll see you tomorrow for our Olympic preview special with the Elite Nine Cougar athletes.